Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Happy New Year, Susie Rong.
And it's so lovely to be back, and happy 2024 to all our listeners, our Joy Drive family. I wish you lots of happiness and joy. Oh. But above all of this, I wish you love and lots of prosperity in your pockets. How's that?
I love it. That was almost like a Whitney Houston song.
Yes. A wise woman once said. I have nothing original in my mind.
Hey, we just got a couple of messages in. Welcome back, Susie. I really enjoy your perspective on film and television. That is from Luke from Yarraville. There you go. Everyone's excited that you're back. We're all excited you're back.
Good. I'm excited about today's show. I thought this was an interesting one today.
So we're talking about Good Grief, which is you can currently stream it on Netflix. I watched it last night. I know a few people here in the office watched it as well. Susie, what is it about?
Finally, a Christmas movie for those of us who like our stories a bit darker and our humour just that little bit blacker. Good Grief appeared on Netflix last week, approximately 10 days after Christmas Day, presumably because the network didn't think it was entirely appropriate for the holiday season. The film starts with Mark and Oliver's extravagant party in their opulent London home, where we see them both very much in love and living the most glamorous life any person could dream of. Very quickly, though, Oliver is killed off, barely a block away, just as he leaves for a work trip in Paris. Mark is then left to pick up the pieces as we watch him go through a period of mourning his beloved husband. Luckily, Mark does have great friends, though. Sophie and Thomas offer excellent companionship. The bond between the three is a godsend at this difficult time, but we discover that Sophie and Thomas are not without their own issues and can't be entirely relied upon to help Mark get back on his feet. Good Grief is written by, directed by, and stars Dan Levy of Schitt's Creek fame. Once more, this new film shows Levy to be a highly accomplished writer, creating something that is again so effortlessly captivating and enjoyable. There isn't a great moral or lesson really to learn from Good Grief, but there are more than a few occasions of deep and meaningful dialogue that will have you reflecting on some of the hardest times of your life and maybe come to an understanding of what you have learned from those experiences. Levy's insightful observations about his character in a moment of catastrophe are, in my opinion, quite a cathartic watch. It's otherwise a fairly simple film, nicely put together, with Levy's immense charisma in the central role really helping to sustain our attention. His irrepressible comic appeal means that the show never gets as sad as it probably should, but that also ensures that viewers are kept entertained. Warren, they're all very shiny, privileged people, but somehow quite relatable, no?
Oh, the only reflecting I did was looking in the mirror and wondering whether I should pick that pimple, to be honest. I didn't.
Oh, no, did you get bored?
I was bored. I was so bored. Honestly, I watched the show and I stopped it because I wanted to see how far through it was, which I think I did so many times. And I was about halfway through and I thought, I felt like I was still setting the scene. I just didn't get the depth of the show. I couldn't get into it at all. I don't know what the message was it was trying to get across, whether it was talking about grief or, you know, talking about open relationships. I couldn't get into it, Susie. I watched the whole show. I absolutely watched the whole show, but just couldn't. And, you know, a couple of people here were the same. They were like, I want to go to bed. No, it didn't work for me.
I did think that it started on the wrong foot. I think that starting with so much opulence just didn't put you on their side. Like when the guy died, you're like, I don't care. I do get that. I also get that Dan Levy's sort of, like, he has so much comedy in him, and like, he's not able to kind of get into the sadness of it, which I think also detracts from what the story could have given. So I get that. Like, and I think because I've known you for these last 2 years, and I kind of know how you respond to these things. I had quite a distinct feeling that this film was going to leave you a bit cold.
Yeah, it did a little bit. I mean, I think grief's such an important thing that we need to talk about and unpack, and it's particularly in movies, but I just don't think it did it any justice whatsoever. And, you know, and the whole thing about the friends having other issues, and I couldn't see what the big deal was. Like, the friends went out, they went to Paris, and, you know, a few things happened. Like, so what? They went and had fun. They slept with someone. Like, we all do it. Like, what's the big deal? What's the significance in that? I couldn't get it. It went straight over my head. I was like, I don't know what they've done wrong, but they're acting as though they've, you know, murdered someone.
That's one of those things. Like, Dan Levy, I think, is a huge talent, but he is ultimately, you know, what we call the Nepo baby, right? He's born into a Hollywood family, so he does have a lot of privilege, and you can see it. Like, you know, he doesn't really feel like he's ever experienced a lot of hardship in his life, but you know, I think in that way, he's not able to kind of express that sort of catastrophe that most of us feel, or he's not able to express it in a way that is, you know, quite relatable, I guess. But I thought some of his observations were good, you know, that stuff about how your heart, needs to heal. You know, the way he expresses how a bad relationship stops you from loving, you know, in the future if you're not careful.
Well, that's true, yeah. And also, yeah. I suppose his look at grief, and the fact that, we tell ourselves lies, and, you know, we go into denial just so that we can continue to move forward. And, you know, I look at some of the, you know, I've lost family members close to me in my life, like we all have. But if I look at my brother in particular, you know, I convinced myself that life must go on and blah, blah, blah. And then it wasn't, you know, this was in the 1980s that he passed away. And it wasn't until probably the last 10 years that I grieved him. You know, it hit me. And I thought, you can tell yourself these lies and you can suppress it and do all this sort of stuff, but it bubbles up eventually and comes and gets you. You have to process it.
Well, but it seems that it's how humans work. Like, it's sometimes these feelings are so big that the only way to deal with them is to lie, and to lie to yourself and to pretend, put yourself in a state of delusion. Obviously, is harmful in itself, but it's probably protecting you from, you know, the immense emotions that otherwise your body is not able to cope with. And I think that is one of the things, right? Like, as we grow older, we find that, oh, those things that we have packaged away, compartmentalized and tucked away for years, they kind of don't really go away. But you do, as a person, grow stronger. You know, as you grow older, you have more more strength to be able to deal with those things. And then if you have enough wisdom, you might be able to unpackage those things and deal with them, you know, now that the time has passed, and hopefully you'll be able to deal with them better and then come out of it better. Because I think a lot of that compartmentalization, like you said, you know, they help you through a certain time when you were, weaker, perhaps, but they kind of cause you different sorts of problems. And then with maturity, you should be able to look at them. But, you know, I think most of us do need help on that front. It's very hard to do those things on your own.
Exactly. I wonder how much there's an intersection between, you know, we're good at hiding ourselves, aren't we, and masking ourselves and not showing the true selves. And I wonder how much of that intersects with when it does come to grief. You know, we're sort of experts at doing that, aren't we? Whether we also therefore mask that as well and go, you know what, you know, I don't need to grieve it, or I can hide that grief. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I wonder if that into play as well.
Right.
And therefore, it's kind of easy for us to do and to just get on with things sometimes than necessarily grieve. I don't know. Maybe
that reminds me of the word resilience that people always use to describe gay and trans people. You know, like, yes, you have the resilience because the world has treated you terribly, and then as a child, you develop these coping mechanisms, and then you can apply these coping mechanisms to anything. You know, you know how to deal with all this hardship, which I know is a good thing because life is hard, no matter who you are, and if you have the ability to deal with those things, that's a great thing. But if it puts you in a state of constant denial and you're never honest about things, we know that to be unhealthy, you know, and to the extent that I know of people who have developed physical illnesses, I think as a result of those things. This is sort of a little bit metaphysical, but I do think there is a correlation. Like, if you don't have an ability to look at your real emotions, and you've put them away for too long, they manifest in really unhealthy ways. So we have to be careful with this resilience, even though it is a gift for us.
Susie, are you there?
I'm here. Oh, can good. You hear
Sorry,
me?
I thought I'd lost you for a second. Something else I wanted to chat about, and look, and I know, and those who are in open relationships, I know there are good ones and there are healthy ones, and they work really well, and they've discussed their boundaries and how they work, and that's great. And I know they happen, but I just want to talk to you, Susie, because the ones I come across, and this is something that happens in the movie, it strikes me that one of the partners tends to agree to the open relationship because they feel like they could potentially lose the other partner, or they're lesser than the other partner, or the other partner might be good looking and they're too good, you know, a good catch and what have you. And I know that's what he said in the movie as well, when he admitted to agreeing to the open relationship. And I wonder, I mean, you know, I'm going to get personal with you, Susie. You know, I was with someone on the weekend. And, you know, we're having a bit of fun, and his phone rings. He goes, oh, it's my partner. I was, what? He goes, it's my partner. And we have an open relationship, but he gets really jealous and insecure because I just had an affair. And I said, what? Why? Hang on a minute. Why are you here with me when this poor person is feeling insecure and jealous? And I instantly stopped and said, no, this isn't on. He goes, oh, well, I think it's probably coming to an end anyway. And, you know, oh, you're gorgeous. Maybe we should hang out more. I was like, what is going on? This is not an equal open relationship. This is like torture for the other person, you know. And then if I look at another one, I was seeing a guy who was married. And I didn't know he was married. And then I found out he was married. And then, you know, the married guy's tracking this guy. And the only way I could catch up with him was because he had to, you know, to leave his phone at home. So he didn't know he was with me. And they're saying, oh, no, but we've got agreed open relationships. So I don't know. I just...
Look, you know, one point I want to say is Dan Levy's film might not have been very entertaining to you, but clearly there were some observations. Yeah, he's really good at these kind of really minute observations. But as a storyteller, you know, there are things that can be improved. I feel like, you know, I understand the world from a different place. Like, I've not been in a relationship for over 15 years, and I am the last person to give anyone relationship advice, but I can tell you that relationships are just really, really hard. And, you know, people who make it work or seem to make it work, I'm always very suspicious. I'm like, I don't really believe it. just because the human condition is, especially when it's two men, right? Like, the amount of horniness in there, I don't know how you contain it. And not just the horniness, but the other side of it, that's kind of tendency to get bored with people.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how. But where do you cross the line where it becomes lies and deceit and almost, you know, abuse of the other partner where they're feeling uncomfortable and insecure? Yeah. I mean, to me,
now people are trying to be open, trying to be honest, and trying to take, like, cheating out of the equation by saying that, well, if there is no traditional commitment, then there is no cheating, right? Like, if you understand that once in a while, or, you know, maybe more often than that, I'm going to see other people, that if you know that's my condition, that means that is not cheating. But, like, the film shows, and like you've expressed, you know, it's not 100% 100% safe strategy because someone's still going to feel jealous. Someone's still going to feel like that there is something wrong. And then, you know, and more often than not, the other person's going to say, oh, the relationship is coming to an end. That still happens. I don't know. Relationships are hard. I don't like it. Don't ask me about it. I don't know how to do it.
I tell you what, Susie, the more I'm knowing you, I'm quite happy being by myself. I'm finding it a lot easier. I think by osmosis, you know, you've influenced us. It's probably a lot of us like that.
You know what? I think that relationships are great. You know, I wish that I had someone that would have that sort of, you know, sort of semi-traditional relationship. I think financially, I'd be much more comfortable. And then, you know, I do get occasional bouts of sad, of loneliness. That's normal. But at the same time, I do think that it's important that we understand the emptiness of romance. That's something that I've learned, you know. I think, I don't know if relationships can come out of a place where you are very clear and honest about romance, that how quickly it fades, how quickly lust and romance fades, and how, what relationships look like beyond that. I don't know, because I think so much of our ideas and our conceptions about relationships are based on lust and romance, and we know those things don't last. So I don't know. I don't know how that can be sustained beyond those, you know, honeymoon months or years, if you're lucky. And if you want to be honest about things, you know, like in this film, people want to be honest about things. So they say, all right, we don't make that sort of old fashioned commitment. We call it an open relationship, but there's so much dissatisfaction.
But the other thing is too, like in this film, and we're talking about Good Grief, which you can stream on Netflix with Susie Rong at the moment, you know, he finds out about his partner, you know, via and I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, let's be honest, it's not exactly a sit down and let's have an open and honest conversation that he finds out that there's someone else involved in the relationship as well. And I just think, I mean, when does an open relationship where do you reach that point where you say, you know what, it's finished, it's ended, we don't need to go down the open path, because you're just to hang on to it, just to say, you know what, let's keep it together because it's comfortable, because we're used to it, because we've got the dog, the kids, whatever, like it's ended, let's just accept that and move on. And I wonder if that's what could have happened in this particular relationship in Good Grief, whether it had just ended.
I think subsequently we found that the guy who died kind of imagined, right? Like the other person, the other man didn't quite see it as that serious, I don't think. But in any case, you're bringing up the idea of when do you know where a relationship ends? That's a dangerous thing. I always have this thing where, oh, this couple has been together 20 something years. And I'm thinking, well, it's an impressive number, but how much of those times are happy times? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather have been in a relationship that was shorter, but there were very few years that were miserable. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so much. Yeah, there's so much credit given to people who are able to sustain a really, really long relationship. But, you know, the emphasis should be on people who have had happy relationships, even if they were short. So when people tell me that they have divorced or they're broken up, I always say congratulations, because great, you don't have any more miserable days.
A couple of texts. Johnny just said, as a single person, I think the rules of someone else's is their business, not mine. I agree, but I don't engage with people when I feel their rules are causing toxic vibes. That's right. But what happens, Johnny, when you find out about their rules when you're in the middle of seeing someone? Because that's what happened to me. Susie, I'm not joking. I just got a text in.
Does that mean that you always have quite a lot of expectation from your encounters? It sounds like you kind of do think that, it sounds like you do take your encounters sort of more serious.
Well, I find people reveal that they're in a relationship often later on, and I get really annoyed at that, because you know, if you know up front, things are different. You set your expectations different. But when they're with you and they're going, oh, this is amazing and we should catch up more, et cetera, and I love the chemistry, et cetera, and then, oh, by the way, I've got a partner. It's like, well, why did you want to go down that path in the first place without revealing?
By the way, I've got a partner.
Yeah.
That comes up later?
Later. That's the thing. Like, why aren't people just up front in the beginning?
Well, is this going to be something that you can ask someone on a first date? Or is that inappropriate on a first date?
Do you know, Susie, as we're talking on air, I just got a message saying, hey, you're free tonight, from the one that was on the weekend. Honestly. Susie, wrong. I love our conversations. And I just want to say, you know, we do know that some people have really healthy open relationships. We're just talking about our experience. Like any advice, this is not advice. It is just Susie and I chatting. We are not giving you relationship advice whatsoever. It's just our personal experiences. So please take it with a grain of salt. We're talking about, what's it called? Good Grief.
Good Grief.
Which is on Netflix. Netflix. Susie, what are we doing for next week? Is it relationship?
Alan Carr is a national treasure, not just of the UK, but also for lovers of camp humour everywhere. The series about his childhood, Changing Ends, has finally arrived in Australia. So make sure you see it all on ABC iView, and we'll have a chat about Changing Ends when I see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Thanks, Susie. That's Susie Wrong. And of course, we're talking about Good Grief, which is on Netflix.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.